Hill Ronzinelli, and joined by Willie B. Lakey, of Astros Daily. And
the Donut Man.
And you know it's a long break when we get to a whole Kansas song and a half of Bruce Springsteen's Born in the USA. You know the break was like 8 minutes long. But Willie B. Lakey is here to talk Astros baseball. And during the break, we're talking about some of his best Astros team, at least his favorites. He mentioned, I believe, the 1980 team and the Randy Johnson team when they lost to the Padres in the playoffs. That's what Willie B. Lakey and Astro Daily brings, the history of Astros baseball.
Absolutely. Willie B., AstrosDaily.com, real quickly, on the website right now. And I like how the second article on there is by you, Astros Cry Wolf. And a lot of people talked about this headline. It was circulating around MLB.com, the Astros portion of it, Astros.com. Trade increases Astros playoff hopes. How come we didn't get one for LaTroy Hawkins? How about LaTroy Hawkins will save the season?
I don't know about LaTroy. I wasn't too big on the Randy Wolf trade to begin with, at least as far as saving our season. I'm glad he joined the rotation. It's, I think Richard Justice mentioned it just before now, that gives us kind of a full-man rotation now with Wolf at the bottom and Hernandez back in AAA.
Yeah, no need to waste gas with all the Round Rock guys coming up and going back down and then making this move, making that move. Now you have five straight going. Now whether or not Randy Wolf is going to pan out and get some big starts for the Astros, we'll see. But the big trade that I've been saying this all weekend long, and Dell loves it when I mention this stat. Since LaTroy Hawkins came to the Houston Astros, they're 2-0 and on pace to win all their games.
That's right. I mean, if we keep that up, we'll definitely be in the postseason there in October.
Yeah. At what point do you start taking this seriously? With the Astros, they are right now 500, 9 games out of the wild card. At what point do you say, okay, maybe this is a time they do make a run?
Oh, yeah, they could. You know, we've won, I think, 5 of the last 6 series now. We should have swept a couple of those, too. We missed a sweep two Sundays ago against the Cubs. Maybe we'll get one today. If we keep winning series and we get to where we're maybe just 3 or 4 games out of the wild card and there's only 1 or 2 teams ahead of us, that's when you start talking maybe that this team is going to just shock the heck out of us.
LaTroy Hawkins, why didn't they just go after Arthur Rhodes, too? If it's LaTroy Hawkins and Arthur Rhodes, that would have saved the season. I've been right along with you if they ever got Arthur Rhodes as well, as opposed to him going to the Marlins. Obviously, they won 5 out of 6, not just 5 out of 6 series, 5 out of 6 games. At the last 2 games for you, Willie B., maybe the most memorable games, at least this season, with the obviously Mark Loretta hitting the home run and the play at the plate yesterday with Loretta again and Pence. At least the last 2 games stick out in my mind as 2 of the more memorable finishes.
Oh, sure. Those were both exciting, especially with Loretta. The deal last night with Pence, he almost pulled a double goat on us, though. I mean, if he had been tagged out there after being doubled up earlier in the game, we may not have ever put into that 10th inning. So
yeah, that was.
But the start certainly was exciting, especially against Wagner.
100. Yeah, that was the best part against Billy Wagner, and to see an old Astros guy come here and blow a save. You can't. It doesn't get any better than that because it's more of an Astros thing now.
Well, it's a little bittersweet. I got Wagner on one of my fantasy teams, so I could have used the save last night, but I'd rather get the Astros win.
Okay, I've got a question for you. You're a fantasy baseball guy.
Yes, sir.
Okay. However it comes down, okay, let's just say the Astros are going to be 1 game out of the wild card. In order for them to win, they have to be guys on your fantasy team. What do you take, an Astros wildcard berth or a win in the fantasy pool?
I'll bend right over and you can just kick my butt on that. Let the Astros win, let my fantasy team lose.
What if your fantasy team had $10,000 riding on it?
I'm not that stupid. I'll go with my fantasy team winning.
Nice, there you go. Willie B. Lakey from AstrosDaily.com. And now the Astros fourth in the division, 52-57, like I mentioned. But up top, You have to get to 500 first. Once you get to 57 wins, from there you can start looking at it. Am I being too optimistic that the Astros, you have to take it, you know, in 5 games. You have to win 5 in a row, you're back at 500, and from there you can just take it.
I don't know if you're being too optimistic, but it may not be realistic to really expect this team to climb back up quick enough. And there's just a lot of teams to climb over to get back into the wild card lead, or even to get to second in the wild card hunt. So just kind of sit back and enjoy this ride, and if it takes us a little bit closer and a little bit closer, then we'll jump off or jump right on right then.
What do you think about management doing, there was a call earlier, and I asked this to Richard Justice also, the question that management will make a decision depending on how the Astros play in the next 2 months. If they play just around 500, 600 ball, they're not going to make any big moves. But if they just tank the whole season, they're going to have to make a big move. Uncle Drayton's going to have to wake up and say, look, nobody's coming to the ballpark now. We need to bring in Ben Sheets.
Oh, I'd love for them to bring in a pitcher like Ben Sheets here in the offseason. I think, though, you have to look at it also. If they go out and just really lose, fall apart here at the end, would Drayton consider getting rid of the current team and then we start all over? I don't know if that would be good. So now I'm just going to root for them to win each game as a fan, and then when we get to the winner, we'll see what the team's going to do. I really think that Drayton's going to let him go out and sign another big arm, though.
Knowing Drayton, I don't think even if the team, I guess, fell apart even more. Obviously, we're hoping for the positive. Supposedly, what if they fell apart? I don't think Drayton's selling the team away. Who's the tradable commodity that he would actually consider getting rid of? Obviously, I don't think Lance is going anywhere. I don't think Oswald's going anywhere. The possible maybe Tejada and Lee. So, like, I think Drayton's a guy who wants people in the building, and you get rid of two of your four, I guess, your big name guys. I don't think that happens. So,
no.
I don't think the Astros fans have to worry about, even if this season turns sour and goes south even more than it already has, that you're gonna be a Rays from the past or a Marlins from the past situation where you're going there to watch young players and just have an experience at the ballpark. Hey, Junction Jack is out there. We'll go watch him. But I don't think that'll be.
Where's Junction Jack? Is he out here?
No, I mean that'll be the one draw. The little Pumas and Junction Jack. I don't think that'll be the two draws next season. I think Astro fans don't have anything to worry about.
Well,
at least
it's
in that regard.
Tough for them to trade Lee. He's got a no trade up for at least I think the next two seasons before it becomes a limited trade deal. Tejada would be someone maybe you could bring in an arm in a deal, but we don't have anyone. I don't think ready to take over shortstop full time behind him. Right now, you've got Blum and Loretta. You might be able to go out and find a relatively inexpensive bullpen arm with one of those two utility guys. Bourne's been just a complete bust, and it almost sounds like Cooper's tired of his sore ankle act this last week.
Yeah.
So, and it's not just a pitcher. I think Drayton will go out and get us at least a number two caliber starter to pitch behind Roy next year. And I think Wandy's already almost reaching up to number two status.
Yeah.
So I think we'll have a good winner. Win or lose the rest of the way.
Ed Wade, what do you think about the job he's done so far with the trade deadline hitting end here on Thursday of the past week? The big trade, Troy Hawkins.
LaTroy Hawkins, yeah.
World Series savior. I'm telling you. Look, you guys are laughing. LaTroy Hawkins is going to save this team.
I'd love to eat crow on that, but I'll say no, he's not.
Let me read a stat real quickly. Right-handed pitcher LaTroy Hawkins made his Astros debut tonight and recorded two strikeouts in two-thirds innings work. Oh, shut up, baseball. LaTroy Hawkins, baby.
He's on pace for something like 470 strikeouts with the Astros right
Absolutely.
Now.
Absolutely. And he's
which would be amazing. I think it would be a record.
But you might want to test him for some certain enhancements because he's wearing number 22. And,
No, I don't think you're going to find any nasty syringes underneath someone's TV or something in a few years.
Guys from Gary, Indiana, don't cheat. Guys from Gary, Indiana, do not cheat in baseball.
Yeah, I like how the guy you just traded for was sitting at some college that I've never heard of playing ball with his agent's son.
That was the part of the deal that I didn't understand. The Yankees had DFA'd him, and we went out and gave up. We didn't really give up much for either Wolf or Hawkins in the last few weeks. But it's almost like we didn't have to give up anything for Hawkins. Were their teams beating the Yankees' door down, inquiring about him? Is that why we rushed in to make the trade?
You couldn't have given up the dual bobbleheads, Biggio and Bagwell, for LaTroy Hawkins? You actually had to give up an actual player?
No, then the Yankees would have to give more in return because those things are pretty sweet.
A dozen baseballs and an extra cycle for the locker room.
How about this? The promotional alliances, they're just getting long. Today's back-to-school backpack day. I'm kind of excited about that one.
Oh, yeah, I'm real excited about back-to-school stuff. Yeah. To get the kids off the road and off the streets during the day and give me more freedom up at the lake.
There you go. Willie B. Lakey joining us here from AstrosDaily.com. Kaz Matsui. The signing was questionable. You know, the amount of money it cost for Kaz, not that great, but still a pretty big sum. What do you think of Kaz Matsui so far? This series has been has been fire hot because home run after home run, and outside of Mark Loretta, the hottest player in the series.
Right. It would have been nice to have seen Kaz get off to start the year instead of spend the first few weeks on the DL with his backside problem.
With his fishing problem.
Yeah. The fissures.
Yeah.
So, in a way, you kind of have to grade his season, even to now, a little bit incomplete because we haven't seen him the whole time. He also missed some other. But he's been hot now. Maybe he'll get hot down the stretch and build on something to start next year with.
Poor Kaz. I mean, no matter what, he could have had an MVP year. But it will always be the fissures.
The fissures.
Yeah.
He'll always be remembered. It's almost like for Brett Hemroy.
Exactly.
George Brett. who he didn't have fissures. He actually had the H word.
Yeah.
You know, that they used.
Nice. Willie B. Lake from AstrosDaily.com. Looking at the rest of the schedule, which is up right here. Our trusted Coors Light Astros schedule. Love this thing right here. Got the Mets today. They have to go for the sweep. Obviously, they are going for the sweep, but they need to get that sweep. In the last two series, Cincinnati did not get the sweep. Milwaukee got 2 out of 3 from there. Pittsburgh, the sweep, and the Cubs had a chance for the sweep, did not get it. How important is it going to be for the sweep today?
Well, going into Chicago would be real important to get that third win in this series. Not that you can kick back. I mean, this team has to win 2 out of 3 the rest of the way if they're going to have a chance. So we've got to win today and then take at least 4 out of 7 this week. We have 4 games in Cincinnati. So we got to take 2 from the Cubs and at least 2 from the Reds.
Once again, we're here with Willie B. Lakey of AstrosDaily.com, our every Sunday segment here. He's actually joined us out the ballpark, which is a good thing.
I mean, no longer through the phones. You know, you guys need to come out more because when you guys come out, we get donuts.
Well, you know, the price of gas went down and I could make that 200-mile drive in today to treat you guys to donuts.
Yeah, my neighborhood is now $3.71 per gallon.
What?
So that's a big deal for me.
I just
me.
Paid $50 this morning for gas. And I'm driving a Honda Accord. Now, I'm not driving a gas guzzle or anything.
I'll let you go fill up my F-150 anytime you want.
Yeah, good luck with that. When we come back, I want to ask you a few more questions before we let you go regarding the best Astros of all time. Baseball Tonight on ESPN is doing a thing where they're going to pick 3 of the best players of all time on each team, and you having the extensive knowledge of the Astros, I want to get your opinion on that. I know fans see the encyclopedia. We'll get that in a little bit. Coming up next, we'll get that, and then also we'll talk a little bit more of the Houston Astros live at the bus across Minute Maid Park till 1 p.m. It's game time. Real Ramsey Del Olale on 1560 The Game.
Pardon me, ma'am. I'd like to talk to you about enhancing your top side.
Excuse me?
The roof of your home, ma'am. You know, your top side. It's really an eyesore.
Oh, that top side. Yeah, it's been looking worse and worse, but we can't afford to replace our roof, and it's only 12 years old.
Well, chances are you don't need to replace your roof. Apex Roof Cleaning offers a very affordable alternative to roof replacement. Their low-pressure soft wash starts at $250 and will restore your roof to a like-new appearance, adding both value to your home and maximizing the life of your roof.
What are those stains anyway? I've heard they're caused by trees and pollution.
90% of the stains you see are organic growths like algae or mold, which can cause granule loss and premature shingle damage.
That sounds awful. How do I contact Apex?
You can give them a call at 877-245-APEX. That's 877-245-2739. Or check out the website at apexroofcleaning.com.
Great! I can't wait for my top side to look like it did when I was in college.
99 bottles of beer on the wall. 99 bottles of beer. Take one down, pass it around. 98 bottles of beer on the wall. Howdy, friends. I'm Attorney Gary Trichter. If you've been wrongly arrested for DWI, then you certainly don't want to be accused of drinking 99 bottles of beer, especially when you only had a couple. After an evening with friends, you're suddenly pulled over, your judgment is sound, and you're normal, but you still get that nervous feeling. You haven't done anything wrong, but the officer instructs you to do gymnastics on the roadside. He doesn't tell you how, who grade them, or let you practice. Then the officer orders you to blow into his not-so-magic black box. Now you're spending the night in jail counting the cockroaches. Well, that's when you call me here in Houston, 713-524-1010. Put it in your cell phone, 713-524-1010. If you're wrongly arrested for DWI, then take my number down and pass it around, 713-524-1010, and visit texasdwilaw.com.
Here we go.
Richard Justice is a happy little helicopter.
I am a happy helicopter flying in the sky. So high.
How high?
So high.
Try 1,560 kilohertz.
I have a lot of little tricks.
Richard Justice's little tricks include doing a radio show from 10 till noon on weekdays.
Oh my.
When Richard Justice writes for the Chronicle, he goes.
What a funny sound.
He goes.
And as everybody knows, my blades go round and round.
His blades go round and round, like that song from Rat.
I'm a happy helicopter flying.
Richard Justice is a happy little helicopter. Fly along with Richard Justice each weekday from 10 until noon.
Oh me, oh my.
On 1560 The Game.
I'll try them while I.
His blades go round and round.
Round and round!
That was fun!
It's the weekend, Houston. Why aren't you mowing the lawn or watching cartoons? Oh, wait. That's right, because you're listening to us. You G-bag.
If you are what you say you are, a superstar, then have no fear. The camera's here, and the microphone.
Once again, I am Dan Malloy, along with Raheel Ramadali. Willie B. Lake is joining us here at the bus. We'll be here until 1 o'clock. Our five-hour show when the Nationals are home.
Our marathon.
And we're out at Minute Maid. Obviously, we're right next to Minute Maid waiting for the Astros to hopefully sweep the Mets. And Willie B. reminded us about our roster check. He was listening on the drive-in. And we got a couple from at least coach, the two coaches. They collaborated on their roster check, Coach G. Their first one, artist Tupac. Obviously a favorite of many people, Tupac and artist.
Nice.
Number
Willie
two.
Willie B., Tupac fan?
No, more into Jim Ed Brown, Papa Top again.
Nice. I think you're going to say I'm a Biggie Smalls guy myself.
I am kind of Biggie, but I'm nothing about being small.
All right.
All right, we're going to leave that one alone.
Nice.
Number two is number two is Art Howe, former Oakland A's manager and New York Mets manager.
Nice.
Number three, Emeril, master of the culinary arts. Emeril Lagasse.
Emeril, bam.
Number four, Julius Erving, art of the dunk. Julius Erving, number four on the Coach G's roster check. And number five is Thomas Kincaid. Mr. Kincaid, I know that name. I just don't know what show that's from.
Thomas Kincaid.
Reference? Anyone know Thomas Kincaid? I know the name. I just don't know what show. I believe that's a reference to a TV show. Not quite sure what it is, but I guess we should have asked those guys before they left. But they got work to do inside Minute Maid as we do outside here at the bus. Once again, joined by Willie B. Lakey of AstrosDaily.com.
All right, now you have to pick out your roster, fill it out, Willie B. Artist.
Artist. Georgia O'Keefe. Does she count?
Yeah, you can count that.
For, I guess, painting. Maybe Ansel Adams for photography.
Okay, so you're going all arts now.
Well, it's good art, you know.
Well, you can take anything relating to arts.
Joseph Haydn for music. Yeah. Jimmy Buffett for
everything.
The art of marketing.
Yeah.
A bad voice and Kiss.
What about Kiss? The art of marketing. The Kiss coffin.
Hey, that would be a good one. Gene Simmons. I mean, that guy has done that. So, is that my five?
Yes,
okay. That's your five.
There you go.
It would be Lakey of AstrosDaily.com. The top three Astros of all time. Baseball Tonight is doing a deal where they're going to go around, pick the top three players of every Major League Baseball team. Some are going to be easier than others, and I think the Astros fall under the category of not hard, not easy, right in the middle. It's a tough three to pick. So let's go with the top three. And then some other ones, throw out the names. Just throw them out who you might put in.
Okay. I think that the list has to start with two guys that have just recently left the team, Craig Biggio and Jeff Bagwell. And I think Craig is the greatest Astro of all.
Mm-hmm.
And Bagwell might be the most talented Astro of all. So I think you have to start with those two. After that, you can start throwing around Nolan Ryan, Cesar Cedeno,
Cruz?
Yeah, maybe Cruz, just for the longevity. He used to have almost all the records that Bagwell and Biggio eventually broke. And eventually, I think Lance Berkman is going to have a bunch of those records.
So no Darryl Ward? No Darryl Ward?
I don't think no Darryl Ward, no Mark Limoncello.
How about our good friend Casa Ole, Lima?
Lima time.
Is there a funnier Astro?
I used to love to watch Jose pitch, he got the ball, he pitched the ball. He got the ball, he pitched the ball. He didn't mess around out on the mound.
He got the ball, pitched the ball, went to Castle Ole, sang a song, then pitched the ball.
There you go. I actually like to watch Jose pitch back when he was here, and at least when he was winning.
Will it be Lakey of AstrosDaily.com here? I want to throw out this question. You have Biggio, Bagwell, 1-2. When it's all said and done, where will you put Roy O. Berkman? Do they crack the top three? You said Berkman has a chance to crack the top three.
Sure. Berkman
could
own almost all the offensive records if he stays here long enough. And someone that would have that many records for a franchise certainly would have to rank in your top 1, 2, or 3.
Mm-hmm.
Roy is constantly underrated. We'll see if this year's kind of an aberration or if this is the start of start of his downturn. But yeah, Roy's got to be in the top 4, 5, 6. I think when you start looking at and you look at if you break it, split it between pitchers and batters, make it a lot easier, of course.
I wanted to throw this stat out there. Lance Berkman, after being hit by a pitch last night, ranks third all time with 59 hit by pitch. Number one, obviously, Craig Biggio, 285, and Jeff Bagwell, 128. In second place there, so even in the hit-by-pitch categories, Lance Berkman is making some ground up there with the Houston Astros.
He's advancing up that ladder.
All right, other things with the Houston Astros going on, there's still a long time left in the season. Fans are slowly starting to get in that Texans mode. The Ron Artest trade with the Rockets takes away a little bit more attention from the Astros. Fans, you know, this is a weird thing. It's a weird question, but should fans be focusing more on the Astros right now or the Texans with 2 months left in the season?
I think especially as long as the Astros keep winning, the fans should leave some attention there. But the Texans don't really have a real game until September 7th or so.
Yeah.
So you've still got a month right now, 4 or 5 weeks, that you can kind of put them on your back burner and pay attention to the Astros. The Rockets, they don't start until November. By that time, the Astros will have already taken the month of October off.
And won the World Series.
Right. So.
Yeah, you got to keep hope alive for me.
You kind of paint it with a little bit of realism here and there.
Yeah, it's new game time. Will it be Lakey? Some more questions before we get out of here. Roy Oswalt yesterday, Johan Santana, that was a battle. That was a fun game to watch. In terms of historical games, where do you put that one in? Just a regular season game. I know they're not chasing anything. There's nothing on the line right now except for to play some spoiler, at least this far into the season. But in my, you know, watchings of the Astros, and sure, it's a lot shorter than yours, but I think this is one of the games where I think of, I'm like, man, that was a fun game, a good game to be at.
I think for someone that's only been watching them for, you know, maybe 10 years, that's a huge pitching matchup. But I was more interested in seeing how Roy was going to pitch. And if it had been a year where he'd been doing very well,
mm-hmm.
maybe it would have held a little bit more substance in the rankings. But I would still put – there used to be some Nolan Ryan, Steve Carlton battles back in the
days. Yeah,
That were really fun to watch. Those guys were going back and forth at the top of the strikeout list. So I wouldn't rank it up there, and I think it's just because Roy's having a bad year.
What about the way it ended? The Loretta, Pence, you know, going off Billy Wagner,
That was wild. If you go back and watch the replay, you see Loretta kind of going back towards third, and you can almost tell, even though you don't see his face, you can just imagine the expression of his face when he looks up, and Pence is already almost at third. And Pence is right on his backside the whole way into the plate. That was just an amazing one of those you'll never see again, probably.
Mm-hmm. Carlos Beltran makes an appearance inside the buzz. Well, someone wearing his jersey, a Mets jersey, by the way, Carlos Beltran, Mets jersey. So I don't know if you boo Beltran. I guess you can boo him as well if you take a look. We've got Oliver Perez later today against Randy Wolf. Oliver Perez, owner.
The Wolf Man.
Oliver Perez, the owner of the lowest ERA since late June in the major. So the Astros are going to have, obviously going to have another tough matchup. Hopefully we'll get to the bullpen again, because apparently the Mets have issues. So I don't know if you go into a, I guess you go into a game thinking if we can get to the bullpen, we got a shot, especially with the Mets. And hopefully Billy Wagner decides to blow another game. That'd be nice.
I think Mets fans will be the first to tell you that when they see Aaron Heilman taken to the mound, that you might as well make your way to the exit, because it's a game over.
Yeah, especially the last couple of days, Heilman, then Wagner. The Mets just as recently as Tuesday had led the league, led the NL East, not so much anymore with the losses to the Astros in the game they lost right before they came into Houston. So it's obviously, we talk about the Astros side, but this is a big game for the Mets. They're in a race that'll probably last to the last day of the season, like it happened last year when they blew the lead with Philadelphia taking over the
division. I'll blow it again.
Yeah,
oh, I know the Mets will blow it because I have a futures ticket from Caesars on them winning the National League, and every time I've bet the Mets, they've just crapped out at the end.
Nice. There's a story last week that I wanted to talk about. I didn't get to, but a ticket broker in Chicago is putting up tickets for the World Series already for the Cubs. Is that the worst thing to do, or what?
That's the definition of optimism. A Cubs fan making postseason plans.
No, that's horrible. Hey, Willie B, thank you so much for joining us here on Game Time. We appreciate what Astros Daily has done for us. We enjoy talking to you, and hopefully by next week, maybe at 500.
That'd be great. You guys enjoy the rest of donuts.
Real quickly, tell the new listeners of Game Time what they can catch on AstrosDaily.com and what's happening on the website.
In addition to this, the regular weekly features, Bob Hulsey's been really knocking it out, getting the player profiles up to date. There's a lot of probably the most up-to-date information you'll find on Astros as far as all-star games go at the site. And then again, a week doesn't go by that I don't venture into Gene Elston's corner and at least look at some of those photos and drift back into the 60s as a kid myself.
So. Nice. There you go. And that's one of the big features on AstrosDaily.com, Gene Elston's corner. You have this day in history and a lot more. It's the most thorough history of the Astros out there. So if you are an Astros fan, a new Astros fan, if you have a son or a daughter that wants to be an Astros fan and you want to give them some reading material, none of that Dr. Seuss stuff. Let them read Astros stuff, right? Get them into it. That's how we roll here on Game Time. Willie B, thank you very much, and thanks for the donuts.
You're welcome. I'll bring them in the next time I come.
There you go. Astros Daily, you can catch them every Sunday here, or you can go to their website, astrosdaily.com. It is a new Game Time live at the bus. And Sean Pendergast of the Sean and John Show out here. We've had Richard Justice on. Sean, get on the mic real quickly. I want to talk to you about something.
Now, Sean, get on the mic now.
Yes, sir.
Sean, you were at last night's game as he puts his headphones on.
Yes, I was.
How exciting was that game? Because a lot, at this point...
Very to extremely, somewhere in between. It was in between very and extremely exciting.
I'm going to go lukewarm exciting to exciting.
There's no lukewarm about it. That was an exciting ending.
That was a fun game.
A very memorable play. And the thing that stuck out to me about that game, you go back and you think about that game, there were... everybody contributed in that game. Mm-hmm. I mean, up and down the lineup, the bullpen, Roy didn't have a great start, but pitched well enough to keep him in the game. That was the thing that really stuck out to me, was how many people contributed. And then you think about, Ed Wade's come under a lot of criticism for some of these trades not working out, or at least so far not working out. But the guys contributing last night, the one thing I think he did a really good job of in the offseason was putting a veteran bench together. And you think about the guys who contributed in that game last night, Jeff Blum, Darren Erstad, Mark Loretta, who they were able to keep from last year. That to me was what stuck out, was the guys who have been bench guys all year stepping up and making big contributions at big times.
Yeah, and hopefully they can keep that up here. Game 3, Mets Astros going for the sweep. And I know it's simple, just saying 2-1 is not as good as 3-0. And not only because of the standings, and maybe if the Astros are going to make a push here in the next few weeks, this is the time to get some sweeps and no more 2-1s in a three-game set.
Hey, Real.
Yeah.
I have one question for both of y'all. How difficult was it to contain yourself without, or did someone like let it go last night, meaning, let the excitement boil over and make some noise?
Oh, are you kidding? Real and I hugged.
Granato was in the press box with us, sitting around watching the game, having fun, we're talking all that, and when the game was won on the Darren Erstad sack blooper, and Lance Berkman crossed home plate, Granato let out a little cheer. I don't know if you caught that or not. He said, yeah.
I didn't. I was too busy cheering.
Yeah.
I didn't hear him.
I meant for the, not even that part, but when Loretta and...
In the ninth inning?
Yeah. Well, yeah, in the ninth inning.
There were a few O's.
It was like holding in a sneeze.
Oh, okay.
It was not easy.
Well, usually I like hit whoever's on side of me when something happens under the table. Like, I know Sean has got it a couple of times. I just like, oh my God, did you just see that? So I know it's kind of hard. I was at home, so I just literally jumped and almost hit my head on the ceiling.
I didn't jump. I was just like, ooh.
You hit your head on the ceiling? Almost? What, do you live in a cave?
No, KJ's got sick ups, dude.
I got sick ups. Dale, what are you talking about?
He got mad ups.
We call him Spud up in the press box.
Hey, Sean, what was I? Oh, yeah.
We're talking about the series, yeah. 2-1 going for the sweep. I heard you ask that question to Willie B. Lakey on the way, and how big would this win be for the sweep? At this point, all the games are big for the Astros. I mean, clearly their mindset is they're going to try and make a run at getting into the postseason. It's big in that they would have beaten a team that's theoretically in front of them for the wild card right now. They would have beaten one of the better teams in the National League. And there is probably a psychological thing about going into a road trip with a sweep of a good team. So in that sense, is this game a little bit bigger than some? Yeah, probably from a mental standpoint. But at this point for the Astros, there's no small games. They're all big. They need all of them. Brandon Bakke put it best about a week or week and a half ago where he said, it was after the game, I think, where they lost to the Cubs.
Yeah.
And they were still – the mentality that day was, well, we did take 2 out of 3, and we keep taking 2 out of 3. And I think Brandon Bakke put it best. He's like, 2 out of 3? He's like, we need a winning streak right now. We need to go 2 weeks. You know, we need to go 10-2 over 12 games is what we need to do. You know, we need to win 8 or 9 in a row. You know, win 11 out of 13. That's what we need right now. Because right now, let's face it, I mean, we're getting worked up about these games, and it was an exciting game. At the end of the day, there's still a handful of games under 500.
Yeah.
So we're
hitting that point now. It's the unofficial, official pregame show on 1560 The Game for the Houston Astros.
Nice.
I'm saying that just so we can egg on our competition across.
Yeah, bring it. Tell them to turn their Winnebago around so people stop turning right at this corner. We've watched people literally almost get killed because I think they look at that stupid Winnebago right there that never moves. And they go, oh, look, it's facing that way. We can turn and go this way. And all of a sudden it turns into like this.
Good God Almighty, he has a steel chair.
Yeah, he's going to bring that over. I don't know if I want to mess with that guy.
Hey, Sean, the problem is they want to, the door is on the other side.